Today, we join the introduction by Glendale Mayor Elaine Scruggs of Governor Jan Brewer here at the Westmark Westside event. It's March 9th, 2011. And another one of those great programs that Westmark brings to the West Valley to bring all the important people here to tell us what's going on. Come join us.
Governor Brewer's strong support for cities and towns. We appreciate this so much, and I know you would think, well, of course you would appreciate it because you're the mayor of a city. But I want to point out why it's important to each and every person in this room. I would guess just about every one of you lives in a city or a town. Few may be out in the county, but I bet most of you are in cities and towns. You have your businesses in cities and towns. You work in cities and towns. You spend your free time in leisure activities in cities and towns. So having strong cities and towns makes a better quality of life for each and every person in this room. So I want to thank Governor Brewer for the strong support she's given us in the years that she has been, since she was catapulted into office as the governor of our state. I want to say that I hope you're going to come back to the city of Glendale very soon. We have a lot going on in this city, and not all of it is what you read in the newspaper. And I want to especially draw your attention to about two weekends from now, March 19th and 20th, and hope that I'll see all of you here in Glendale at one of two very special events. There will be our folk festival that will be going on at Saguaro Ranch Park, historic Saguaro Ranch Park, just up 59th Avenue, and there'll be wonderful food and entertainment and events, and you'll even get to hear a marvelous group called Retro Folk at 12:30 on both Saturday and Sunday, a member of which is, where is Bill Sheldon? Our own Glendale resident and Vice President and General Counsel of SCF Arizona, Bill Sheldon. Very enjoyable group. And if that doesn't jazz you up enough, then go on out to Luke Air Force Base for Luke Days, both days, March 19th and 20th, and hear the sound of freedom. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Mayor Scruggs. We're very pleased and honored to have Governor Jan Brewer here with us today. In January 2009, Governor Brewer took the oath of office to become Arizona's 22nd governor. In January of this year, she took the oath of office once again, having earned the overwhelming support of Arizona's electorate. Since her first days in office, Governor Brewer has had to contend with more issues than most leaders will face in a lifetime. Not the least of which was the greatest economic downturn in most of our lifetime. The ensuing fallout in Arizona from this global challenge has been particularly hard. Yet in spite of the challenge, Governor Brewer has demonstrated her leadership in balancing our state budget while also looking at our future. In fact, one of the four cornerstones of her strategy, the Arizona Competitiveness Package, was recently signed into law, a package that will significantly improve Arizona's ability to compete for high-paying jobs in this global market. I think we can all agree that this legislation couldn't have come at a more crucial time for our state. So, ladies and gentlemen, allow me to introduce someone whose leadership is making a difference. Please welcome the Honorable Janice K. Brewer, Governor of the State of Arizona.
Thank you, Don, for that very kind and welcoming introduction. And hello to all of you, and it's great to see everyone here, people that I know and people that I have just met today. And it's a pleasure, of course, having been here with you last year, that I'm with you here again today. And when I'm with you, I always feel as though I've come home, because, of course, Glendale is my home, and I really have. So it's like a safe port. I must tell you that you all stood with me early and strong on Proposition 100, and I'm very grateful for that. My years on Westmark Executive Committee and Board of Directors, and I'm still an honorary director of the board, by the way, and you all will always have a very special meaning for me. And speaking of a special meeting, let me take a moment to talk about Jack Lunsford and what he's meant and continues to mean to me, to Westmark, and to all of Arizona. A recognized expert in Arizona's property tax and known for his work in economic development, Jack was the youngest county assessor in Arizona's history and one of the youngest elected officials in the state history. Appointed by 5 different governors to boards, commissions, and task forces, Jack has been a leader in local and statewide transportation and education issues for more than 20 years. Jack led Westmark's effort to pass Proposition 400, the Maricopa County Transportation Tax. His leadership at Westmark has been masterful, including efforts to draft and to adopt the principles for the future of ASU West, and in doing receiving the ASU Visionary Award along with Westmark. Jack, you leave behind an organization and a room full of people who love you, who will never forget what you've done for all of Arizona. And we wish you Godspeed in your recovery. Our thoughts and our prayers are with you. Thank you, Jack, for everything. Of course, one of Jack's greatest legacies will be Westmark's formation of the Greater Maricopa Foreign Trade Zone. It's one of the best economic development tools in the West Valley, and attracting new and high-wage jobs. And let me take a moment to also thank Harry Paxton, Goodyear Economic Development Director, for his vision, expertise, and passion in ushering the foreign trade zone to reality, in addition to Ray Jones and Art Athon for recognizing the potential of such a zone in the West Valley. We're all working to find affordable options in the pursuit of prosperity for the businesses and the citizens of Arizona. I intend to devote my last and best years of public service to ensuring Arizona is at the top of those states with limited public sector, a restrained regulatory state, and a vibrant private sector. Following my call for a special session of the legislature, and thanks to the hard work of President Pierce and Speaker Adams, and thanks to the support of the business community and the chambers of commerce, including most of you all in this room today, I was able to sign into law the first of my 4 cornerstones. I believe the Arizona Competitive Package is one of the most significant pieces of economic legislation in Arizona state history. It includes codification of the Arizona Commerce Authority as a highly focused, highly privatized entity with a deal closing fund that our competitor states have. It provides for replacing our state enterprise zone laws with immediate tax incentives for quality job creation statewide. And it includes phased-in tax reform starting in 2014 to address those areas where we're not competitive with other states. The competitive package will make Arizona a magnet for business expansion, relocation, capital formation, and investment. Now, we all know there are naysayers out there, don't we? Some people are telling us to slow down. They're saying this so-called gamble is too great. Well, I have a message for the doom and gloom crowd. I have no intention of slowing down. This is not a time to be timid. In fact, this is a time for boldness. It's a time for courage. The day after, thank you. The day after I signed that historic piece of legislation, Intel Corporation announced it was investing more than $5 billion, that's billion with a B, to start a chip manufacturing facility at its site in Chandler. Construction of this new Arizona factory is expected to begin in the middle of this year, and when it's completed in 2013, it will be the most advanced, high-volume semiconductor manufacturing facility in the world. Thousands of construction jobs and thousands of permanent manufacturing jobs will be created. Intel could have went anywhere and located anywhere in the world, but there are many reasons it selected Arizona. Intel officials themselves will tell you, and I quote, "Arizona policies have encouraged Intel to invest billions of dollars in the state and create thousands of high-wage jobs. And we commend the governor and Arizona's elected leaders for choosing to compete." End of quote. I was then, after Intel, able to announce a short time later, Gestamp Solar Steel USA is basing its United States headquarters in Arizona, constructing a solar manufacturing facility, creating hundreds of jobs. PayPal is now opening a new 188,000 square foot facility, expected to create up to 2,000 new jobs. Focused on both urban and rural job creation, our agenda is based on a belief in the awesome power of free enterprise, private businesses finally freed to compete on the global stage. And in order to compete, employers need a skilled workforce, and employees want a good school system for their children. Achieving a strong economy for Arizona's second century requires that we act now to strengthen our education system. So, my second cornerstone of reform is an education reform plan that reaches every student in every classroom, from preschool to college, in every part of Arizona, en route to a future in which all Arizona students are prepared to succeed in college and careers and to lead this state in the next 100 years and beyond. Children will learn if we expect them to, and I can tell you this, we expect them to learn in Arizona. To reward our best teachers and best principals, to ensure that resources follow success, and to reward schools and colleges for graduating students instead of just enrolling them, Arizona needs a data system that accurately reports the performance of students, teachers, and schools. The education data system we now have is both unreliable and out of date. And that's why my executive budget recommendations for FY 2012 includes a plan to fund a new data system and to oversee its development. Access to better information will help parents support their child. And this has always been a huge priority for me. We've always known that more involved parents are, the more successful their students will be. Last month, I was proud to announce the launch of www.arizonaschoolchoice.com, a website designed specifically for parents to help them navigate the many different opportunities available here in Arizona. We have a sound education reform plan with yearly benchmarks that will put us on the path to achieve specific goals by 2020, including doubling the number of college students who complete their studies and receive a four-year degree. During these times of decreasing state support and rising tuition, the state must continue to explore lower-cost high education models, including the expansion of 2+2 programs, more regional campuses with various tuition options, online education, a state college system, and four-year degrees offered by some community colleges. To consistently rank among America's top economic growth states, Arizona needs a modern state government. So my third cornerstone of reform includes a series of reforms in budgeting, programs, and operations. Arizona needs to reform and modernize its state personnel and retirement systems and reinforce its status as a right-to-work state. Arizona is saddled with an overly bureaucratic state personnel system from a bygone era. Simply put, the state of Arizona needs a state personnel system that attracts and retains the best employees and increases employee accountability and agency efficiency. I'm proposing that Arizona transition to a 21st century state personnel system, as other states have already done. A strong selling point for business attraction, retention, and expansion. We value our state and local workforce, but we must ensure that their entitlements are not greater than that of other large employers or more than the Arizona taxpayer can support. In addition to personnel and retirement system reforms, we need to strengthen the right of every employee to have an individual relationship with his or her employer. As long as I am governor of Arizona, we will remain a right-to-work state. The United States has a federal government, not a national government. For the next 4 years, Arizona will continue to pursue a policy of renewed federalism, my fourth cornerstone of reform, that protects the state of Arizona and its citizens against overreaching federal government. Thank you. Never, never during our nearly 100 years of statehood has federal interference in Arizona affairs been more blatant than in 2010. We must demand that the federal government secure our international border, overturn the 2010 health care reform and its unconstitutional mandates on states, employers, and citizens, and free local jurisdictions from unnecessary federal oversight of local elections. On February 10th, Attorney General Tom Horn and I filed suit against the federal government due to its constitutional failure to secure the border and protect Arizona citizens against the negative effects of illegal immigration. With that filing, Arizona both answered the Obama administration's lawsuit regarding Senate Bill 1070 and submitted a counterclaim against the federal government. Our message for the federal government is really simple. Use federal resources to combat the cartels that are breaking federal law. Don't attack Arizona, which is helping to enforce federal law. We did not want this fight, thank you. We did not want this fight, and we did not start this fight, but now that we're in it, we will not rest until our border is secured. We're fighting to be cut loose from unconstitutional and unfunded health care mandates. And we're delighted that Florida U.S. District Judge found that the individual mandate in Obamacare, which requires everyone to purchase federally approved health care, is unprecedented and unconstitutional. That decision has a direct impact upon the federal Medicaid requirement from which we are seeking a waiver. If the federal health plan is unconstitutional, it follows that the maintenance of effort funding requirement implemented upon the states would be also found unconstitutional. And federal officials should take that decision into account when reviewing our waiver request. We've lost the sense of which problems require national solutions and which are best handled at the local level. One way to help our local jurisdictions in their own growth and planning process is to free them from outdated, unnecessary federal requirements. The United States Supreme Court recently said local governments may petition to remove themselves from the Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, the federal preclearance process. Over 60 local jurisdictions in other states have done so successfully. So, together with Secretary Ken Bennett and local jurisdictions in Arizona, we can reward those who have accomplished the mission of the Voting Rights Act. We can allow them to finally end the unnecessary, expensive, and burdensome Federal Justice Department oversight of Arizona's elections. Let me close by saying, if we chart a path to the freedom that we all want, Arizona will stand in shining contrast to other states as we limit the growth of the public sector and restrain the unnecessary regulations and stimulate the engine of free enterprise. I know that if we hold fast to that rock, then our future and the future of Arizona will shine brightly. May God bless you and your families and our great state of Arizona, and may God always bless and protect the United States of America. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you deserve it. You really do. I was going to go off and talk about our caucuses and stuff.
No, I keep that one secret. The governor has time for about three questions because she is on a tight time schedule. We do have a roaming mic in the center of the floor.
Pick the easy one.
You answered all the questions.
Yes, no.
Good day, yes. From the press.
Huh? I'm already walking over here.
No,
from the press?
Yeah, how he does.
Because he won't stop at one.
I know. Well, I will.
Governor Brewer, we're all curious to hear about your trip to Alaska.
Oh, there you are. Oh, let me tell you about my trip to Alaska. It was absolutely too short. I was up there for 2 days. And I had a ball. It was so beautiful. I had put on my bucket list, if you will, that I always wanted to go to the Iditarod. And so I was able to do that. And it was just something that I had always had observed on television. But those dogs are just fabulous. And I thought they would really be great and big and husky, but they're not. They're lean and mean, and they can run fast, and they bark a lot. So they that was just a fabulous opportunity for me personally. I just really surely enjoyed it, and certainly went snow machine riding, and I am very sore hanging onto that machine, but it was fabulous. We were going 85 miles an hour and 75 miles an hour over pristine snow and trails, and it was quite the thrill for me. And then seeing Mount McKinley was something that I probably never ever expected to see from the view that I was able to see. It was crystal clear that day. Generally, it's cloudy and it's windy. So if you're in a plane, you're bouncing around, and then you don't get to see the mountains. But it was just a remarkable state to visit. I had been up there once before in the summertime, but during the winter it was cold, and none of you would have recognized me. Maybe you would have, but I was bundled up, never got cold. We're driving down the road, and I said, oh my gosh, I said, it's 0 degrees. I said, I'm not even cold. I freeze here when it's 70. So it was a delight. They thought maybe my blood had gotten thickened up. Anyway, it was a fabulous trip. I loved it. I enjoyed it, and now I'm back to work, and probably won't get to go on another holiday for a while. But thank you for asking.
Mayor Lopez Rogers has a question.
Mayor Lopez.
Yes, Governor, with the feds mandating everything on the state, how do you feel about the legislative government at the state level legislating to the cities?
Oh, you say that in this audience, right? Okay. Well, you know, I always, and I believe most people agree that, you know, the best government is at the local level. And having been an elected official at local government, serving on the County Board of Supervisors in Maricopa County, I think that that's unfair. I think if you're going to mandate, then you gotta send the money with it. And you can't expect to balance your budget on the backs of local government. And I've said that since I've been governor. I said that when I was at the county. And I think it's something that we all should be concerned about. We know that things are tough. We know that the budget is tight. And so collectively, together, all of us are going to have to work to solve the issues that we're all facing. But up until this point in time, I've tried to be more than friendly and fair, and I will continue to try to do that. And we'll welcome any of your input or your advice on my desk or on the phone or however you can catch me, because we together as Arizonans have got to solve these issues going forward. And as we stand here, I know the legislature is down there working, at least some of them, I didn't mean that disrespectfully, some of them are working on the budget. And so I have presented my budget. It's a pretty smooth and tight budget from what we've experienced in the last few years, but I think that it's balanced to the best of our ability to get it done and then move forward with my economic plan. And hopefully all together the states and the cities and the counties can move forward and grow and be the prosperous communities that we all want for our citizens. So
last question.
Yeah. Hi there, Christy Hansen from Wickenburg, Arizona, along
Hi
with
there.
The chamber crowd. I am the mother of a graduating senior, and so I am looking for guidance as you have spoken of your education plans, and yet the Board of Regents are raising tuition yet once again, and as my daughter has the attempts to go to Northern Arizona University. You know, we're faced with tough economic times all the way down, and it's tough to worry about the tuition, the rise in tuition costs at the same time as maybe a cut in our incomes or whatnot. And I was wondering, could you spell out or explain a little bit more of your association with the Board of Regents as being able to try to control the rising education costs for higher education?
Well, when I became governor a little over 2 years ago, I went and I, of course, spoke with the Board of Regents, and I spoke with the Community College presidents, and we spoke collectively together and separately, and realized that we were moving forward in very, very difficult times. The bottom line is that we all knew that this cliff was going to come, and we protected the universities, and we tried to, and I, of course, protected K-12 education by going forward and championing the temporary 1 cent sales tax that most of you in this room supported, and I believe the people of Arizona were grateful for that. But we know now that the stimulus dollars are done, and we have to balance our budget. And so it is the responsibility of the Board of Regents to present a plan to me. My staff is meeting with them this week to see exactly where and how they're going to do that. There's a lot of options up there. They have to do a lot of things that they probably haven't had to do in the last few years, but now the time they have to step up. And unfortunately, I believe, as you do, from all the information, that tuition probably might rise. And that is going to take probably to the tune of about $70 million out of the $170 million that they have been reduced in their budget. Now, by saying that, that doesn't necessarily mean that that is exactly what's going to happen, because I present my budget, and then it goes to the legislature. The legislature is working off my budget, and they're doing what they call tweaking. Tweaking has a big definition in it. I don't know, you know, sometimes you tweak your kids and it doesn't mean much. It's kind of like a knock of endearment or something. But I think maybe they're working in different areas than what I would hope they would be working. But we do know that universities are going to have a cut. And I don't know if it's going to be at my level or if it could possibly be more than my levels. But we are going to work together. I'm meeting with the Speaker and the President on a regular basis, and we hope that we can, of course, make education as affordable as possible to the people and to the citizens of the state of Arizona. Everybody has taken cuts. It's unfortunate time. The good news is, of course, as we feel now with the Commerce Authority being established, and now that we have a an organization that really understands how businesses run, that we can be competitive with those states that we're surrounded by, that sort of always has a better deal than Arizona, that we will bring businesses in, we will bring jobs in, and that means that people will have more money, there will be more money into the economy. But this didn't happen overnight, it's not going to be resolved overnight, but we're moving in the right direction, and we have bottomed out, we're seeing improvements, and I hope that that will continue. I feel that it will. And hope that your daughter has a wonderful four-year time at NAU. Wish her well. Thank you.
Governor, thank you for such a positive message. I am temporarily on your staff because they've asked me to help you move to your next event.
Thank you.
So I don't mean to cut you off, and I don't mean to cut our folks off. I know.
What's your hurry? There's the door, right? Thank you very much, Jack.
But I also want to thank you, first of all, for the kind remarks. Aww. And for including it in. And I want you all to know that the governor was at East Valley Partnership this morning, and Rock Arnett told me that she was going to the East Valley first. And I said she was saving the best for last.
Yay!
So I just want you to know
now,
that.
Now, there's some people here from Mesa.
I know. There's some.
This is my hometown.
It's a wonderful rivalry. Thank you.
Give me a call.
I will. Okay. I will do it. Would you please thank once again the governor, state of Arizona. And as she makes her exit, if you will let me thank our partners in presenting today's event, the West Valley Chamber Alliance. You've seen them all listed here. This is about the third or the fourth time I think we've reached out to partner with this event. Fourth time, I think, Sherilyn. And we really, really appreciate that for the West Valley in particular. I didn't get to mention to the governor, but she's walking out. Governor, I hope I'm going to announce another event, and hopefully you'll be able to be there next month, for what you'll tell about the real truth of me at a little roast, I understand, is being considered. And I think we're hoping that she's going to be a part of that, and I wanted to make mention of that. I also wanted to have you all recognize our sponsors because they're critical to efforts such as this. SCF Arizona and Don Smith, thank you so much for your continued support and for your fine introduction today. The folks at APS, great partners of ours. Banner Health, Tom Dixon, thank you. You're here, Mike Woodard, APS, past chair of Westmark. Our silver sponsors, Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Gila River Indian Community, thank you, and United Healthcare, and then our bronze sponsor, SRP, and we have a couple of table sponsors. Would you all please recognize all of our sponsors and thank them? I think we still have some Westmark members of the Board of Directors and the Executive Committee. Would you all stand, please, and be recognized for your leadership with Westmark? Please. These events, you hear me talk about it all the time, require the continuous effort of staff. Amity Bravo, Amber Bottomer, Dara Mann, they've been here throughout, working, mingling, making this as transparent as possible. We want to thank you, staff, as always. We appreciate it. We want to thank the great folks at the Glendale Civic Center, Marty Brown, his team. Everyone, they're all back there. They make this thing run extremely smoothly. We appreciate our relationship with you, Marty, look forward to coming back once again. I want to close with something that I've said recently to some folks as my time continues to progress things are going to be changing a little bit in my life. I want you to know that I'm not a poltergeist for all of that reflection that has for some people, but I am a Schwarzenegger, and I'll be back. Thank you all for being here. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
This has been a production of KKAT-TV, Glendale, Arizona, and the Glendale Daily Planet. Join us again for more programs in the future. This is Ed Sharp. Good evening.